Well, good morning. And happy Resurrection Easter Sunday. So glad to have you here with us today. My name is Jamal Baker. I'm the Chapel Hill Atlanta campus pastor. I'm excited about what God is doing here in Chapel Hill. Glad you're here today. I know God has a word for you, a message for you. I can't wait to share it with you. Just before we get into the word, we want to open up with something a little bit different. We want to open up with a survey, okay? So I want to encourage you, take out your mobile devices, take out your phone. If you already have the Chapel Hill app downloaded, you can open up the Chapel Hill app. If not, you can use your browser on your phone to go to chapelhill.cc. There's a three-question survey that we would like for you to fill out. And first of all, the first question is really easy. If you struggle with this question, I'm going to be worried. The first question is, what location are you attending today? This is the Atlanta campus, okay? So you can just click on that, ATL. The second question is, I would like to hear a message or series about. It can be, there's some options there that are on there, maybe marriage, maybe parenting, might be finances, might be emotional health, worry, anxiety, anything. If your list is not there, just there's a blank for you to fill in for the message series you'd like to hear. And then number three, besides English, I speak. Besides English, I speak. Any other language that you speak other than English? Now, Southern accent does not count. Okay, neither does I am fluent in urban slang. That does not count. Okay, it knocked you off the list, Sandy. I'm sorry. So if you would fill out that survey, if you don't want to do it right now, it'll be open to the end of the day today. But I would love for you to fill that out. And what this does is this helps us learn a little bit more about who we're serving and to serve you at the highest possible level. Amen. As we prepare to get into the word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this word. I want to thank you for this time in our worship experience where your word is shared to the hearts of your people. Father, we give you this time. Lord, we ask that you use this time to mold us, to shape us, to change us, to draw us closer to you. Lord, I pray that everything that every person is intended to hear, it will be heard and received in these next few moments. God, we thank you for that. We give you praise. And we all said, amen. Amen. So we're in this message series, I Found. We're in week five of the message series, and we have been focusing on this very short parable from Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. It has sort of been the frame that we have used for this message series. And it reads, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. Then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." So again, we've been saying that the treasure in this parable is the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, those are synonymous terms that you'll hear in scripture. But to keep it simple, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God means a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a personal relationship where his influence and his reign affects your day-to-day life. For the man in this parable, the treasure was so valuable. Say, so valuable. So valuable. It was so valuable that when he found it, he buried it and he ran out and quickly bought the field with the proceeds of all of the things that he valued. He sold everything he had because this treasure was so valuable. Why would he do that? We've been saying this week after week. He would do that because treasure changes everything. Say that with me. Treasure changes everything. And if treasure is relationship with Jesus Christ, then relationship with Jesus changes everything. So often we're looking for things that we believe will change our lives forever. That's why hitting the lottery is so appealing. Hitting the lottery is so appealing because people have this idea that if I could just win the lotto, it would change my life. Has anybody ever said that? Come on, just tell the truth. Tell the truth and shame the devil on Resurrection Sunday. If I could just hit, listen, don't raise your hand if you got a scratch-off ticket in your pocket. Don't raise your hand. And so we tend to think that. But let's face it, winning the lottery, I mean, it would change a lot of things for you. And maybe that's a treasure that some people are seeking. But here's the reality about the lottery. It is a well-documented fact that gaining instant wealth does not always change your life for the positive. As a matter of fact, lottery winners will tell you that winning the lottery was the worst thing in their lives. They lost friends, they lost family, and can you believe this? That 70% of the people that win the lottery are broke within 5 years of winning. I don't even understand how that's possible. And I know what you're saying. I already know what you're saying. You're saying, Pastor, believe me, that would not happen to me. But you know they said the same thing too. So the bottom line is that the lottery will not change everything. See, but for the man in this parable, there was something much more valuable to this treasure than winning the lottery. What could have been so valuable that he took all of his stuff, he put everything on eBay. He put everything on Craigslist. He put everything on Let Go and sold it in order to get this treasure. What could have been that valuable? Well, here's week five's message. See, when you find the treasure, you find something that is so valuable. Write this down if you're taking notes. We find life when we believe in the resurrection of Jesus. We find life. What was so valuable? He found life. The scripture says there is a life that is truly life. See, there are some things we call life that God says that's not truly life. Truly life is being in relationship with Jesus Christ. And see, it's important for us to recognize what the treasure offers us. See, the thing that our soul longs for the most is found when we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Somebody say resurrection. Resurrection. See, Jesus told the disciples and others that he would be crucified on the cross, that he would die, but he would be raised from the dead. He sprinkled this all throughout the Gospels. He's given them this message about his life and where his life is going. In Matthew 12, he said it this way. He said, just as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so I will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. How many days? 3 days. 3 days. Somebody say 3 days. Another thing he told him, there was another metaphor that he used as he's talking to the religious leaders. He said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it again in 3 days. The temple that he was talking about was his body, not the temple that they worship in. And he went on to tell him, he says, listen, I'm going to die. But they didn't believe him. They didn't believe that he could actually do what he said he could do. The only thing they heard is, I'm going to die. And they were fighting against his death. But he's saying, listen, I'm trying to point you past my death to the resurrection. The death is important, but the resurrection is even more important. And Jesus keeps saying these same things over and over. And about a week before he goes to the cross, he says this in Matthew chapter 20, verse 18. He says, listen, he said, we're going up to Jerusalem, where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die. Then they will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked, flogged with a whip, and crucified. But on the third day, say, but on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. See, I mean, it's pretty clear. He's saying my resurrection is going to prove who I am. It's going to prove who I am. So let me tell you three reasons that you can know that you can have life. I want you to write this down. I know I can have life because, number one, Jesus proved he was God. He proved he was God. He said, I'll be dead for 3 days and then you'll be able to see me. This was a well-known claim during the day. He went from place to place. He would share this publicly. And so after his crucifixion, the Jewish leaders went to Pontius Pilate. And here's what they said. They said, everybody knows what a fake, phony deceiver said. He kept saying after 3 days, he would be raised from the dead. So, Your Honor, we request that you seal the tomb until the third day and place a guard in front of the tomb so that his disciples won't come and steal his body out of the tomb and then make up this lie that he rose from the dead. Now, if I'm a skeptic, this is a good plan. It's a good plan. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, let's put a guard there. Let's put a Roman seal there. Let's protect this tomb so that his disciples won't steal the body. And so that's what happens. He puts the guard there. But see, there was a problem. There was just a little problem. Jesus is going to keep his word. Jesus is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he will do it. There's no seal that's going to keep him from coming out. There's no Roman guard that can keep him from leaving that tomb. It's too late. Jesus is going to do exactly what he said, no matter what the plan is. Look at what happened on that day. Matthew 28 in verse 2, it says, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. I thought they were going to keep something from happening. Oh, my goodness. And then the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. And I love these last four words. Just as he said. Oh, I love it. Just as he said. He rose just as he said. He fulfilled the promise just as he said. He rose in 3 days. Just as he said. And get this. Not only did he raise from the dead, it wasn't like he rose from the dead. He showed up that day and poof, he went off to heaven. Oh, no. No, he rose from the dead. And he hung around for, count them, 40 days. He's just walking around. I mean, he was meeting people and greeting people and talking to people. And he was sitting out at the Jerusalem Starbucks on the patio. Sipping on a Cafe Americano double shot espresso with cinnamon dolce flavoring. He was just hanging out. I mean, he shows up one night and he has dinner with the disciples. He goes on a deep sea fishing trip on another occasion with the disciples and comes back with a net full of fish. And then one early morning, he cooks them breakfast by seaside. It was fish and grits. Okay, I'm taking just a little bit of creative license here, but you get my point. For 40 days, he didn't make himself scarce. He didn't make it a secret. He showed up. And the Apostle Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 15. Look at what he says. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. What I love about this is at the time that the Apostle Paul is writing this letter, he's saying, hey, you don't even have to take my word for it. There's over 500 witnesses. Some of them have died, but there are many of them who are still alive. You can talk to them. He was seen by them too. And then verse 7 says, then he was seen by James and later by the apostles. And last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. He's talking about when Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. This is what we call conclusive proof. Conclusive proof. Now, just imagine it this way. Now, if I told you that this morning, early this morning, I went by Krispy Kreme while the hot now light was on. That's a really good time to go. And I walked in to get some donuts, but standing at the counter was Elvis and Tupac. And if I came back and said, yo, no, really, I saw them. And you go, Pastor, you didn't sleep much last night, did you? Are you okay? Hey, when is your last vacation? But then what if after you left church today and you were having your Easter lunch at the Longhorns and the people across the table said, do you know who I saw this morning? I saw Tupac and Elvis. They were coming out of the Krispy Kreme. And then you go to work tomorrow and your coworker in the cubicle or one of your friends sitting at the cafeteria in the school said, you know what? We saw Elvis and Tupac. We saw them. And then over the next 40 days, you encounter 500 other people who also saw Elvis and Tupac. It becomes pretty convincing, doesn't it? See, that's exactly what happened in first century Jerusalem. Every day, your people are running into someone. I saw the one that they crucified. I saw him. He was standing on the hill giving a speech. I saw him. He was talking to his disciples. I saw him on the seashore. We saw him. He was that we actually saw him. When you hear that over 500 times, and you know, when it's a really good story, it didn't even take 500 people to spread it. When it's a really good story, just two or three can really spread it. But 500? See, this is the reason why these people were so convinced that they say, oh, listen, I will die for this. Amen. People aren't going to die to protect a delusion. That's right. No, they were so compelled that they were saying, oh, no, there's nothing that you can say to ever get me to recant this because I saw him. He came back just as he said. As great as that news is, as powerful as that news is, sometimes we just kind of stop there. We just stop and go, oh, yeah, he rose from the dead. Oh, praise God, it's Easter. It's come again this year. Praise God, let's go to church. And then we're going to have an Easter egg hunt. And then we're going to have lunch at grandma's house. And we leave it at that. But it's so much deeper than that. See, he proved that he was God, but here's something else. Number two, I want you to write this down. Jesus will resurrect me. Not only did he raise himself from the dead, but he gives life to you. See, now the story becomes personal. Now you see where you fit in the story. See, I can have a resurrection story too. You can have a resurrection story too. You know, he's inviting us to come into the game. How many video game players do we have in here? We got a few. Most of them are coming later because they still sleep. Because they were playing video games all night. So how many Fortnite players? Any Fortnite players? Anybody play Fortnite? No. Yeah, we got a few back there. Got a few Fortnite players. Some of the older people are Fortnite players. But see, you know, one of the things about Fortnite that makes it an interesting game is that Fortnite is one of these games that you start off at the beginning of the game and you parachute down into the action. And the object of the game is once you get down to the ground, you've got to find the loot. Because the loot helps you maintain life in the game. You search for armor, you search for weapons, you search for first aid kits. You look for things that help you to survive. But see, the resurrection life, it's the treasure that we search for in the game that we play with Jesus. This game of life. When we seek to know him, when we seek to connect with him, it's a treasure that gives us the ability to survive in this game called life. It's the power to live life above the fray. It's the power to win against the enemy. It is the power to be victorious in a treacherous situation. It's resurrection life when you search for a personal connection with him and a personal relationship with him. In every day, you will find, man, he's got this loot called resurrection power, and it is available to you. It's the same power that raised him from the dead. It's that same power that will raise you to a vibrant and strong life. And it's not a game. It's for real. Jesus is speaking as he's about to raise Lazarus from the dead. John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. He says, do you believe this? Isn't that always the question? Do you believe this? Because belief is the master key to access this power of the resurrected life. Do you believe this? See, the resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that not only will we experience a resurrection in this life, but there's also a resurrection in the life to come. See, it's not just about what he does here in this life. There is eternal life that is available for us. And when you find that eternal life, oh man, it's worth everything. It's worth everything. It's worth everything. It's the most important thing you can ever have. And in fact, I said to you in previous weeks, it's the only thing that you get to leave this earth and take with you. The eternal life that comes from the resurrection power of Jesus. But I love that God never leaves our needs in this life out. See, this resurrection life, this treasure is everything. It's freedom from guilt. It is love and it's joy and it's the peace that passes all understanding that you get to partake of right here and now. It's the will of God. It's the word of God. It is life and eternal life. It is a better life. It makes you a better husband, a better wife, a better son, a better daughter, a better student, a better employer. It makes you better in every way. I'm trying to raise your expectations about what you can expect from this life. But you know what happens? You know, we are used to our expectations not getting met. We live in a world where there's lots of disappointment. You know, in a few weeks, some of you are going to be planning for summer vacations. Some of you might be thinking, you know, we're probably going to do Disney this year. Oh, and Disney, as a presentation, it sounds so wonderful. We're going to go off to the Magic Kingdom. Oh, it's just going to be a great experience. The kids are going to, they're going to get to see Mickey and they're going to get to see Pluto and they're going to get to see the princesses. It's going to be great and we're going to dress them all up like princesses. And then you buy the tickets. And then you realize, oh, wow, it lost a lot of the magic. The kingdom wasn't so magical. And then you get there and you realize, oh my Lord, it is hot in Orlando. And it is sticky. And oh my goodness, there are lines after lines. There's lines to get on a ride. There's lines to get food. There's lines to go to the bathroom. There's lines. And oh, those wonderful, precious little princesses that you dress up, they cry and they whine and they scream the whole time. It's horrible. The Magic Kingdom loses all of its magic. Amen. And so sometimes we are used to things being built up so great, it's going to be so wonderful, only to have our expectations dashed with reality, but not so with Jesus. But not so with Jesus. He will fulfill those expectations. He will meet you at your point of need. He will fulfill you. He will do what he said, just like he said. He will never fail to fulfill his promise. Romans 5:5, it says this. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Listen, your hope in Jesus will not disappoint you. It will not disappoint you. Point number three, as I prepare to close, is this. Jesus offers resurrection power to me every day. Jesus offers resurrection power to me every day. Now, the thing is, I sometimes may not rely on that power. Sometimes I don't get access to that power, but that's my problem. It's not that the power isn't available. I sometimes don't rely on it. It's not that the power isn't available. Sometimes I don't reach for my access to it. Look at what Romans 8:11 said. It says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. See, the reality is this: Jesus offers resurrection power, but we have to access it. We have to reach for it. We have to believe that it is available to us and for us. So how do you know when you haven't accessed resurrection power? Let me give you four F's that will let you know you've not accessed the resurrection power that is available. See, if you have fear, frustration, fatigue, and failure. If you experience those things to a great degree in your life, if those things sometimes are overwhelming to you, perhaps you have not accessed resurrection power. So many people are paralyzed by fear because there are a lot of things that we can't control. Anybody like to control whatever is going on? Any control freaks? Come on, tell the truth, shame the devil. Come on. I'd like to know what's going to happen. I'd like to know what's on my schedule. I'd like to know who's going to show up. I want to know. But sometimes that draw towards control is a delusion. It is a delusion. The truth is, only God is in control. And when we recognize that he is in control, we can relieve ourselves from the need to try to be in control. Because fear will paralyze you. But he has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, or self-control. Now that's the control he gives you. Control yourself. Don't control them. And don't try to control that. I will give you power to control you. So that's fear. Then the other one is this: frustration. Man, we get so frustrated about things. You know why we get frustrated about things? Because there are circumstances in our lives that we can't change. And because we can't change the circumstances, we get frustrated. And we're all out of sorts. Your face is twisted. Your heart is twisted. Your life is twisted. Why? Because you can't control something. But here's the reality. There are so many things that are outside of your control anyway. So you know what you can do? When you can't change your circumstances, you can change your perspective. You can change your perspective. The scripture says that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. See, when you recognize that God is the one who is working things out for your good, then you can know, you know what? I don't like the way this is working out. But guess what? I'm not working it out anyway. It's not up to me to work out anyway. It's up to him to work it out. The scripture says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. How different would your life be if you really believed that he's directing your path? Even when you're walking on a path that you would not have chosen for yourself. Even when you are having to face things that you would rather not have to face. What if you believe that he's working this out for my good? That he is ordering my steps. He's directing my path. How different would it be? How less frustrated would you be if you knew he's got me? Fear, frustration, fatigue, and then the last one. No, I haven't even got to the last one. Let me go to fatigue. I don't want to jump over fatigue. See, here's what happens. We get fatigued when we rely on our own strength. We rely on our own abilities. And God is so funny. I know how he deals with me in my life. Sometimes I slip into the snare of relying on my own abilities. See, one of the hazards of being somewhat intelligent, just somewhat, one of the hazards is that you think you can figure stuff out. You think, man, there's very few days I don't have a plan for something. There's very few days that I can't think of something. There's very few days that I don't have a motivation or a drive for something. There's very few days that I don't want to create something. I'm sometimes just like that, like a horse in the gate trying to get out and go do something. But sometimes I slip into trusting in my own strength. And then I find myself tired and worn out. And God is saying, are you done yet? I'm just checking back in. Are you done yet? Because I'm not tired yet. You looking tired. Are you ready to rest in me? And then the last one is failure. See, here's the reality about failure. No matter how hard you try, failure is going to come your way. No matter how well you plan, no matter how well you strategize, failure will come your way. But when you learn from your failures or your losses, you know what they become? They don't become losses. They become lessons. When you learn from your losses, they become lessons. Listen, don't ever waste a failure. Don't waste it. You know what I like to do is I like to do an autopsy on my failures. You know what an autopsy does? An autopsy tells you why the thing died. So when you have a failure, you sit down, you dissect it, write it out, examine what happened, what went wrong, and Lord, what is the lesson? Because I want to pass this test now because I don't want to repeat it. Because you know, he will keep you back. He will say, sorry, you got to pass this test. So how do we get to the place? How do we get to the place where we access this resurrection power? How do we get to the place where we trust him with our fear and our frustration and our fatigue and our failure? Can I just close out with the ABCs of faith? It's so simple. It really is as simple as ABC. A. I admit my sin and I accept Jesus as the Son of God and he died on the cross for me. That's our starting point. We have to accept We're broken. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have to accept that. But he paid a price for that. And then B, believe that Jesus rose from the dead. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But what I love about it is not just life for the by and by. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and life to the full. He's talking about full life now. Now, don't get it twisted. When I say full life now, I don't mean that I'm inviting you into a relationship with Jesus and everything is going to work out just fine. Let me give you the truth. I'm inviting you into a relationship with Jesus and a whole lot of stuff is not going to work out fine. Let me give you another truth. I'm inviting you into a relationship with Jesus and some stuff is going to get worse. However, he changes your pain into purpose. He changes your problems into a platform. So what I love about him is he's the God who gets down into the middle of your stuff with you and he helps work it out. And I'll be honest with you, it's probably going to take longer than you think. But here's what I can tell you. It will be shorter than if you do it on your own. So believe that Jesus rose from the dead and then see. Count on his power on a daily basis. Count on his power on a daily basis. What are we talking about? It's so very simple, and it's summed up in one word: surrender. He is inviting us to a life of surrender. Would you bow your heads with me? Perhaps you're in this place today. And you're saying, you know, preacher, I've surrendered my life to Jesus before, but as I really think about it, I took it back up. And you may be in this place and you're saying, yeah, I identify with fear and fatigue and failure and frustration. I came in here with a lot of that. And now I'm seeing I need to surrender again. Or perhaps you're in this room and you're saying, you know, Pastor, I've never really surrendered my life to him. I'm still running my own show, but you know what? I'm tired. I'm ready for a change. I need him. I want to surrender. If you fit into any of those categories, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand and I want to pray with you and for you. I'm not going to ask you to come up, but I want to pray with you right where you are. You're saying, I need Jesus. I need to surrender to him. I want to experience the resurrection life and the power in my life now. One, two, three. I want to surrender to Jesus. Hands going up. Yes. 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 Now, I'm going to ask all of us to join with those who lifted their hands. And let's all pray together. Are you ready? Let's pray. Just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I recognize my need for you. I confess that I am a sinner. But I believe that you died on the cross for me. But Lord, I also believe that on the third day, you rose from the grave. You had all power in your hands. and you are giving that power to me. Power for this life and power for the life to come. From today, I call you Savior. I call you Lord, and I will serve you with all of my heart, with all of my mind, and all of my strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's thank God for what he's doing.